All right, great singing, guys, and appreciate them singing for us, and appreciate you being here tonight. I hope you pray for your church family. I know this is a great crowd. We got a bunch of children and then Pastor Pirate, but I know we got illness just going through the church. So if someone's not here tonight, it's because they're sick, and some of you are just coming back from being sick, and those of us that haven't been sick, we should stay away from both of those, okay? That's how that works. I knew I'd pick you up right there, John, right? Good. So continue to pray for your church family. I do want to say, Brother Joseph mentioned our Project 1040, but we took our Faith Promise mission. I do want to let you know we're taking on two more of the nationals. And there's one other person we might be taking on that's not part of that group. But I know that doesn't seem like a lot, but we realize when we take the nationals on, we take them on for more than we would take a regular missionary on. And they can't go to other churches and raise support. I know a couple of them have been able to come to our country and that have been in the country have been able to pick some up. But those that can't do that, really they need all their support right up front because they have to get them from somewhere. And so our church is taking on two of them at a good amount so that they're ready to go. So I wanted to let you know your missions giving is going forth to help on the mission field. And pray that we will be able to do more over the course. And then pray for us as we're getting set. We've not officially went out to other churches yet, but we're tilling that soil and we're preparing some things and we're going to start sending out some letters soon. But Brother Tongdi, he was out. He's telling other churches about it, and they're interested in it. And so just if you pray about that and we get that out, what our teams are doing over there is just phenomenal. It's just incredible. And to imagine how much they can multiply it when we get all these Bible college graduates and they're out in the villages starting churches and they're out serving, it's just going to be an incredible thing. And we have an opportunity on our end to help with that. And you help by giving. And also you can help by praying as we get our Project 1040 going. So if you would do that, that would be great. We are in the book of Proverbs, different than the the class. If I cough a little or whatever, my throat's a little bit scratchy, but I'll be all right here. That's going through Proverbs generally, and we're not going through it generally in this series. And this series should not last too much longer. That usually means it'll last for another half a year or something, right? But we're looking at avoidance. Proverbs tells us there's some things that we are to avoid, and we've been looking at that. We remember that the Proverbs talks about three types of people, right? The wise man, the one that seeks to learn God's word, God's principles, and put them into their life. And then also it talks about the simple man. That's the one who doesn't know any better. And all of us, if we are striving to mature in the faith, at one point we were a simple person. We didn't know the truths, and so as we grew, we tried to learn them so we could put them into practice. And then there's the fool. The fool is one who ignores or defies God's word. That's purposeful. And we teach these things, not that I believe any of you here tonight are fools, okay? If you were a fool, you probably wouldn't even bother to show up. But sometimes wise people can step into foolishness in certain areas. And so we want to make sure that we are open to God in every area. By the way, we should never be like this. You know, the cafeteria style Christianity, where I'm okay with this, 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 and this, but I'm not okay with that. When you do that, what you're doing is you're seeking to be wise except in that one area. And in that one area, if you're not careful, you'll step into foolishness. And so we want to strive with everything we have to be the right kind of Christian. We're looking at number 10, stumbling principles. We're about done with it. We spent a little bit of time on this because it is vitally important. Everywhere we go, And I'm not going to re-preach all of them, but everywhere we go, things are being taught to us or told to us. And we have to be intelligent enough to understand if something is biblically true or not. And then if we're hearing something that's not biblically true, we need to be smart enough to say, I'm not going to hear that anymore. Some people are like, well, I'll hear it, but it won't affect me. Maybe not on the front end. But the more we listen to it, the more we're going to be influenced by it. And so we need to be very careful. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that caused to err from the words of knowledge. We've looked at many places. We looked at education many years ago. Our church, we started a Christian school. It was of necessity. It was probably, if I'm not mistaken, 2 or 3 years into our church when we were over on Long Beach Boulevard. It was a necessity. We were reaching all these teenagers, and we're finding out that we're investing all this time in them, and then they're going to the public school system. The government-run school system is a better, actually, name. And everything that we were teaching them was trying to be untaught to them 5 days a week. And some of them that wanted to live for God, they were struggling with it. And so we realized that let's have somewhere where they can come and learn, I was going to say, learn the things that they would learn in a regular school, but regular school doesn't teach these things anymore. You know, math, reading. We had a kid, a family, they weren't really core into the church, but they had their child in kindergarten. They pulled their kid out of our school, and they took the kid to public school the next year, and the teacher found out that this first grade could read because we teach them to read in kindergarten. And this teacher told the parent this, and she came and told us, your child already knows how to read in first grade, that's dangerous. What kind of ignorance is that? But anyhow, they'll learn those things now that they won't learn in a public school. But we understood the influence. We wanted to make sure that we could give a good influence. Entertainment, now we're looking at it more from a spiritual standpoint. We looked at it in spirituality. We looked at many different things. Before we move on to that, I want us to look at the verses in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and see why it's important that we must understand false spiritual teaching. It's amazing. Satan is so good at throwing so many different traps in front of us. Right? He tries the education trail. He tries, you know, the entertainment. And he tries all these different things. And then if someone comes into the fold of Christianity, he tries to trip them up with false spiritual teaching. He's got his nets out everywhere. And everywhere we go, we must be careful. That's why, so Pastor, you talk about this way too much. Well, you know, pray for me if I'm in church, I'm talking about the Bible. But that's why it's important that we know the Bible. That is the only thing that is going to enlighten us as to what is not true. And so we got to be careful. Jesus mentioned this in Matthew chapter 7. I just want to give you a few points and we'll move on to the next point if we get there. Here's why we need to understand false spiritual teaching. Because it has far-reaching, eternal consequences. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth. I think if we look at the numbers, they would tell us that, I don't know what the number is, I don't know if you, Joseph, or somebody knows, but on this planet, they would say maybe 1 billion are Christians. Some number like that. I don't believe that. I think people claim Christianity that aren't Christian. I think there are churches that claim Christianity that aren't. And because he says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, narrow is the way that leads to life. Many years ago, I had some folks knock on my door. We haven't had someone door knock in our area recently, but when we were on El Cedro, they knocked, or no, I'm sorry, we were somewhere else. They knocked on the door. And I saw them, and I'm like, I knew what they were. They were Mormons. And they knocked on the door. They said, hey. I'm like, oh, hey, I'm a Christian. I told them up front, right? I thought, we'll play the game. I'm like, I'm a Christian. And they said, we're Christians too. I'm like, okay. And I knew they weren't. And I said, you know, I just believe the Bible is the word of God. And they said, we believe the Bible is the word of God too. And then I said this, I believe the Bible is the word of God only. And they didn't say anything. I said, how come you didn't say too? And then I looked at them and I said this kindly, and I wasn't trying to be mean. I was trying to appeal to their conscience. I said, what you did was lie to me. You told me you were Christians so that I would listen to you, and you're actually Mormons. And they just looked at me. And I'm like, I would be concerned if what I believed, I had to lie to somebody to get them to listen. I said, if I knocked on your door, and I do knock on doors, I would never say I'm a Mormon just so you would listen to me. And they were really quiet. I wanted them to think about that. Yeah. And you say, are you trying to be mean? No, because God's going to be mean in a minute. We'll get to that. Because on the doctrine of salvation, that's the biggie. Because that doesn't have, look, there's a lot of false doctrines I would kick at. There's a lot of things churches believe that I think that are detrimental to a Christian's life. But this one, if you don't get salvation right, it is detrimental to your eternality. Right. You're not going to go to heaven. Yeah. That's bad. It's not a difference of opinion. It's not a difference of interpretation of Scripture. It's sending someone on their way to hell. We know the way is narrow. Look at John chapter 1, 14 verse 6. Jesus said unto them, I am what? The way. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the narrow way. The narrow way is Jesus Christ, the singular. There's not multiple ways. And don't listen to that. You know, they'll say, well, you know, religions are like this. We're all going to the same destination. You know, you drive on the 5, I'll take the 405. It doesn't work like that. It's a one-way road. Okay? And so we have to understand that. Now, I'm not going to be mean-spirited here. But I'm going to read the scripture. And I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. This is heavy. So if someone were to hear this from me and not like it, you know what they say? You know, don't shoot the messenger. You know, I hate paying my house tax. I don't think I should have to pay rent for a house I own. Amen? Anyhow, that's free. And I set the money aside, and you know, John, even though I have this money set aside, I wait till the very last day to pay it. I'm like, you're going to get it, but you're not going to get it early. Yeah. But I don't get mad at the mailman for delivering the, hey, why are you bringing that? It's like, he's like, I'm just the mailman, take it, okay? Okay, I'm going to be a mailman, so if you get upset, I suggest you don't. Galatians 1 verse 6. He's writing to a church that after he left, some people came in and tried to teach a false doctrine. They wanted to add works to salvation. The works that I wouldn't do, and I'll leave it at that. Verse 6, I marvel, I'm amazed, that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. By the way, you know, the Mormons used to call their book Another Gospel of Jesus Christ. They might want to read Galatians, amen? But anyhow. Which is not another, verse 7. Because there is no other. I am the way, the truth, the life. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Add something that's not true to it. That's how you pervert something. You could take water that's like 99% pure and put 1% arsenic. You've perverted that water. I wouldn't drink it. Okay? And here's what he says. Though we, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, which other than that unto you, than that which we have preached unto you, this is hardcore, people. Let him be accursed. Yeah. You know what a curse means? Damnation. I did not say that. God said they need to get out of the way. Now, I'm not saying we take it in our hands. He's trying to tell you how bad it is. Because not only are they, no matter how sincere they are, I would never say that, someone that believes a false gospel is insincere. They're just wrong because they're not following the scripture. It doesn't matter how insincere they are. If they are leading people to hell through a false belief, God says, bad. Yep. And by the way, an angel. All these Christians, an angel spoke to me. He may have had horns. He may be a demon. God ain't speaking to you through angels. Okay, are you with me? He's not. Well, I died and went to heaven. I spent 20 minutes there. I know, and you wrote 6 books. No, that's not how it works. God says that's heavy duty. They're under a serious curse. And just so we get the point, he reiterates it in verse 9. As we said, therefore, like therefore, which he means the verse before, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. It's not just a difference of opinion. Okay, and so we need to be very, very, very careful that we don't fall for that nonsense. There's all kinds of people, and they for whatever reason, they're not saved. They got caught up into a religious lifestyle. Jesus faced it all the time. His harshest critics were really those who were religious but aren't saved. That's just natural. Okay, so that's why truth is important. Next. Because they fool you into believing they are legit by their exterior. He picks it up in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. By the fact that he says false prophet, that means there are prophets who are false. Yep. This whole, look, and can I just tell you, I could give you names of people. I shouldn't, yeah, okay. We have respect for Billy. People have respect for Billy Graham. Towards the end of his life, Billy Graham was saying, there's no difference but what we believe than Mormons. He didn't believe in hell. He believed we all get there. That's a false doctrine. You say, Pastor, you shouldn't mention people's names. Have you ever read the epistles? I'm pretty sure Alexander the Coppersmith didn't want his name in the Bible. Okay? There's people that preach false doctrines. By the way, Jerry Falwell. Jerry Falwell used to have a church. He's dead now, Liberty University. They used to be fundamental like us, allegedly. And towards the end of his life, he was saying the same thing. You know, Catholicism, all of it, we all believe the same thing. We're all going to end up in the same place. That's not true. If they don't preach, and again, am I trying to be mean-spirited? No, but God said this. It's a big deal to him. If they say that there's a way to heaven other than the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in what he did in the cross, apart from anything we do, that's wrong. I had a couple ladies one day. This is back when I had my own business. I was working at home, and they knocked on my door. I thought they were Christians. They weren't Mormon. They didn't have that look. And I was like, and they say, hey, how are you doing? I could tell they were out from a church. I'm like, cool, soul winners, you know? I'm like, hey, you don't have to talk to me. I'm a Christian already. And they're like, oh, that is great. And then they asked me, have you been baptized? I'm like, yeah, I've been baptized. They said, oh, that's good, because we not only have to get saved, there's a work of righteousness which we have to do. That was their phrase. And I said, you know what? Titus says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. And then they give me that blank stare. And I try to witness to them. Okay? Baptism doesn't save you. This ring I didn't get married when I put this ring on. This represents the fact that I am married and I'm stuck. Just kidding. I meant abundantly happy, beyond measure, right? That's what baptism is. And to make it something that you add to salvation, you have now perverted salvation. So they'll look like the real deal, which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are wolves. They're dressed up like something they're not. Externally, they look like something better than what they are. You don't find out until later what they really believe. They will look like a true believer. They will act like a true teacher. I mentioned this, it's been a long time, but when we started the church in Florida, we had a man that came from the area. He said he was a Christian. Wonderful guy. He had large portions of Psalms memorized. And so sometimes the pastor would let him quote Psalms in the service. Oh, he missed for a few weeks, and I was kind of concerned about him. So I went to his house, and I'm like, my wife was with me, I remember. Hey, we've missed you the last few weeks. Are you sick? Everything going on? He goes, I'm not going to your church anymore. He goes, why? He goes, you're a false church. I'm like, well, where are we false? He goes, you don't have to just believe in Jesus. You have to do works. Like, whoa, where'd that come from? That was a false doctrine. But he was a nice guy. And I tried to talk to him and witness to him, and he wasn't having it. And so you have to be careful. By the way, they may not even realize from their perspective that they are a wolf. I'm not saying they're evil or mean people, but their doctrine is wolf doctrine. So you have to be very, very careful. When you look, you know, they look good, they act like a true teacher. Remember the guy, maybe you're old school, ready? Eugene Scott. Anybody remember that guy? That dude, when I was a new Christian, I saw him on television. And man, he looked and preached and taught like he was fundamental. And I'm like, wow. Many years later, when I moved back to California, I saw him. He didn't look like a good teacher anymore. He's smoking cigars while he's preaching. He's cussing. And he's trying to get you to invest in racehorses he wanted to buy. It took a while, but man, he took off the sheep's clothing. And there it was, a wolf. So be very, very careful what you buy into. Can I say one more thing? Yeah, the pastor, it's cool. Be careful about... celebrity Christianity. And I'm not saying, if a celebrity gets saved, and I've seen stuff about people and horrific lifestyles get saved, I hope it's true. And in some cases, I believe it is. I've seen some fruit there. We'll talk about that in a minute. But then, after a while, what they really believe comes out. And I know they're reaching for it, but they just haven't had someone to sit down, and they'll go to a church where a church won't even vet them and make sure they understand the pure gospel. That's the pastor's fault. And they ought to get the gospel. And so let's be very, very careful. I'm sick and tired of these, you know, these athletes are Christians, and they win a game, and they start talking, and man, here come the words. Blankety blank blank. It's like, whoa, what happened? You set your Christianity over here because the game's over? Oh, that was free. Next. Because we can see who they are by what they produce. Okay? Matthew 7:16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? No, you know why? That ain't where they grow. Okay. If you go, you know, thistles, that's not good. Thorns, that's not good. They're not producing fruit. Verse 17, even so, every good tree produceth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So what's going on in their lives? What are they producing in their churches? Here's a little, I think you have a little thing there. The reality of what they preach will be seen in the products that they produce. You can't preach the Bible true and straightforward and encourage the church to follow it. You're going to get good fruit. Not everybody's going to buy into it. That's their choice. But I'm talking about you go to these churches and they push this stuff out that's not scriptural, that's not biblical, and they're producing people that aren't going to be scriptural, that aren't going to be biblical. That's how you can tell. What product? The product of their own lives. All these false guys, it's going to come out. Look at their lifestyles. Look what's going on. You know, our type of church, I'm being candid here, but if someone in our style of church has a pastor that does something immoral, you know, all of a sudden the fundamental Baptists are bad. Look at what's going on in the other churches. It happens all the time. By the way, you know, I'm not going to go to a Baptist church. I know a Baptist pastor that went bad. Quit reading the Bible because I know people in the Bible that went bad. I'm not reading the Bible anymore. David did something bad. Solomon went sideways. No, they had issues. It has nothing to do with the beliefs. But if you're looking at it from a church, look what's going on. Churches where alcohol runs freely. That's the average evangelical church, by the way. When these church things send me stuff, and I probably shouldn't somewhere, I'm like, let me go to their website and see what they believe. A guy sent me an email one time, and he said, you know, you got a bad review on something. And it says, you know, I'm a pastor in area, and I'm concerned about, so I just thought I'd let you know. You know, some, you know, like, they send their kids out to collect money. We're sending our kids out to go soul winning like everybody does. But anyhow, I went to the website. His hobbies are grilling and drinking beer. The pastor. You want to put your kid in that? I want to be really nice, but you don't have to have an IQ above a plant to understand alcohol is wrong. We'll talk about it later in this series, but come on now. You know, well, I love Jesus, but I live like the devil. You know, look, Hillsong, that didn't surprise me, all that nonsense came out. I don't know who Hillsong is. Good. They look like heathens before all the other stuff came out. All right. Okay. It says skip. They don't like that. Okay, good. How about the products of their teaching? There you go. Look. If you go to the church and everybody acts like, you know, they don't know Jesus, maybe there's a reason, right? I always tell people, look, if you're looking for a good church, go check the youth group. All you need to see. And if the youth group looks just like they just came out of the world, or I mean, look like they're just, you know, they look and they act and there's nothing different than them than the world, there's something wrong with what's being taught there, yep. Right? I mean, aren't we supposed to teach the truth? And people do that. Above, and I mentioned it, I'm not going to belabor it and give you the statistics, but divorce rates among Christians, not much different than unsaved. Alcoholism among Christians, not much different than the unsaved. Pornography addiction, not much different than the unsaved. And people get involved with it. I'm sure there's people that in our church come here, whatever, and they're in that stuff, and we don't know it, but they're going to hear it from the pulpit. You know, at least when they're doing it, they're going to be convicted. I know it's wrong. I'm going to try to get over this. But instead, we're anyhow. Okay. I want to get done with this. Number next. Because there are many unsaved people who are spiritual leaders. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we cast out devils. In thy name have we done wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, nobody goes to heaven because they're a pastor. Nobody goes to heaven because they're a Sunday school teacher. We all go to heaven because we trusted Christ as our Savior. And there are people, and again, I'm not being mean to say they're insincere, but somewhere along the line, they were diverted from the truth. Somewhere along the line, they rejected Jesus Christ, and they're setting about trying to look. And we understand that Jehovah's Witnesses are not Christian; they're dedicated. They are dedicated. They're out there knocking on doors. But they have been fed a false gospel. Same thing with Mormons and others. And so just because someone looks good doesn't mean they are. And then this one. False doctrine spreads and corrupts. False doctrine spreads and corrupts. Now, this is not Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, but thought I'd throw this one in. Matthew 16, verse 6 to 12. Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have taken no bread. You use leaven to make bread rise. But when Jesus perceived, he said, O ye of little faith, why reason ye yourselves? Because you brought no bread. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves, the 5,000s, and so forth, the 7,000? Verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them beware, that bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. False doctrine. Because it's... You know what leaven does? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It spreads, and it's corruptive by nature. It's a picture of really sinfulness in the Bible. Sinfulness is spreading, and it just takes over everything. And he says, "Be careful." You know what their leaven is? What their evil? What their sinfulness is? False doctrine. These were the religious people of those days, and they rejected Jesus Christ, and their doctrine was bad. By the way, and I could mention it many, but I'll mention a couple and we're done. There's false doctrine that spreads in churches today. The false doctrine that's there of Calvinism spreads and kills soul winning. Calvinism is the fact that the belief that God chooses someone for heaven and God chooses someone for hell, and if God chose someone to be saved, they're going to be saved. There's nothing they can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. And if they're unsaved, God didn't choose them for heaven, they're going to go to hell. There's nothing you can do about it, and there's nothing they can do about it. That's depressing. That's like super depressing. If I believed that, I would have never had children. If I believe that, we're not printing another track. We're not going soul winning. You know, I would believe that except for, you know, there's some verses in the Bible that are kind of obscure. Like 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing. Willing means to be minded, intending that any should perish. God is not of the mind or the intentions that people should perish and go to hell, but that all should come to repentance. You say, well, okay, God chooses who he wants to go to heaven. Apparently, he wants everybody. but he gave us free will. And it's our job to get the gospel out. By the way, Calvinism is creeping in because it's a cool doctrine. By the way, you might, if you're a studier, you might want to study who John Calvin is. He was a bad guy. He's the founder of this doctrine. He took over a city, and he was really a commie, almost a dictator in the city. He was not a good man. And so this is a horrible doctrine. Used to listen, when I was a new Christian, I found a radio station. It used to be on here in Long Beach. It was called Family Radio. Anybody remember that one? It still may be going around. I found it one day. They play super conservative hymns and music, and I love the music. Unshackled was on there. And then there was a guy on there that took over, Harold Camping. Now, as time went on, he started getting goofier. He became a hardcore Calvinist. I had the radio one time, was listening to music, and a question and answer came on with him. And this lady called, she's in tears. She said, "My, I had a baby, she was 6 months old, and the baby just died, and is my baby in heaven or hell?" And this guy, as cold-hearted as he could be, said, "No, ma'am, your baby was not elect, the baby's in hell." Like, what? Like, a Bible would have helped that. By the way, he's the same guy that later twice, I think at least twice, predicted the day that Jesus was coming back, and oops, both days he was wrong. It's called false doctrine. The gospel's for everybody. They may not receive it, but that's their choice. God so loved the world that he gave. So who did he give for? The world. They believe in limited atonement too. All right, so that's the gospel part of it. Let's look at this part, and then you can leave on a good note. The false doctrine on grace spreads and kills righteousness. And I'm all about grace. I love grace. But this thing that grace covers everything and you can do whatever you want because you're saved is bad. Okay. It's not true. Now, I'm thankful, by the way. I'm thankful for God's grace because we're not perfect. Amen? And when we do something wrong, we get forgiveness. I'm not saying that. But if we walk into something with the idea, it's okay for me to do this because, you know, I have God's grace, so I'm going to do it anyhow, that's a dangerous place to be for you. You say, well, who said that? I don't know, the Bible? Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. By the way, who has that appeared to? That's a good one. Hath appeared to all men, not just the elect. That was the last point, but two for one special. Okay. Verse 12, teaching us. The grace of God teaches us. It appears to all men. Here's what it teaches us. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. The grace of God doesn't say, you're saved, do whatever you want. The grace of God says, you're saved, you now have the power to deny worldliness and ungodly lust. Yes, isn't that a good thing? Yep. By the way, God, I'll never understand this whole grace idiocy. If sin is so bad it takes us to hell, why would God want us to continue in it just because we're in grace? That's not only ignorant, it's dumb. In fact, grace gives us the power to overcome it. Okay. We should live soberly. I think we looked at that Sunday, right? With discipline in our life, righteously and godly in this present world. That's what God wants. And so let's just be very careful. If you're here on Thursday, you're probably the next level in our church, but you know, you're getting past all these other things. Let's make sure that we don't get tripped up by false spiritual teaching. Amen. Let's get in the Word of God. Amen. It's very important that we do that. Let's stand together. We'll pray together. And then we'll be dismissed. Thank you for being faithful. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the Word of God. Lord, if it wasn't for the Word of God, we would be caught up in every doctrine. Lord, we would be caught away with every wind that blew. But Father, we're so grateful for your Word. And I pray that you would help us to be students of your Word. May we not just listen or hear something, whether purposefully or accidentally and just swallow it because it sounds good. May we be like the Bereans and take the things we're learning and filter them through the Word of God to see if these things are so. Bless us now. Be with us until we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.